past tense, are the seven churches. So when you read about the seven churches in chapter 2 and 3, that's past according to Revelation 1:19 and 1:20. Now turn your Bibles to Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. In Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, he goes on and he says this, "After this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. The first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me, which came up hither. I will show thee things which must be hereafter." So what do we have? John is in Revelation 4:1. That's the present, the things which are. He has already seen the seven stars, which are the seven churches, the 2,000 years of church history. That's what thou sawest, past tense. And then the things which shall be hereafter, which is over in that verse in chapter 1, verse 19, is also there in verse 1 of chapter 4. So chapter 5 through chapter 19, and after that also, there's Daniel's 70th week. In chapter 5 through 19, 6 through 19, you have the second coming, Revelation 19, 11 through 14. And then you have the millennium and eternity, and then Revelation chapter 20 through 22. So what you've got is you've got all of those things spelled out in Revelation 1, 19 and 20. Revelation 4, 1 clears it up. So that's how your Bible is laid out in Revelation. Now we know it goes through the 7 years three different times, and that is crucial for understanding it. Now the four primary teachings concerning the timing of the rapture for church-age believers is pre-mid, pre-wrath, and post-trib. Let me show you what they are. So as you lay out the 7 years, that's Daniel's 70th week, you lay those out, and in the pre-trib rapture, which is what the Bible teaches, you have the rapture before the 7 years, and then we come back in Revelation 19 after the 7 years. In a mid-trib, you go up in the middle after 3.5 years, and then you come back at the end. And then pre-wrath, the wrath doesn't happen exactly in the middle, therefore they would push it off a little bit, and you would come back after the 7 years. Now the post-trib is just basically, you know, I don't even understand it. I can't even comprehend it, because you go up and you come back. I mean, it doesn't make any sense at all. But here's what we are. The Bible is pre-trib. So we go up before the 7 years, we come back before the 7 years. Post-trib again is sort of ridiculous, because you just go up and you come back. So in your layout, which will be on this sheet again, I'll give it to you first, but your heaven is open twice. And that is very important to understand. It's open, and both times it deals with a church. The first time the church is represented by John going up. A door was opened in heaven, Revelation 4:1. And then in Revelation 19:11, I saw heaven open. So there's your two splitting points of Revelation, two major. And we'll go ahead and use this chart. So we'll chart all 22 chapters again this morning. When you look at it, you've got Revelation chapter 1 through verse 22. That's the gray. So that's chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 going up, 22 going up. And each one of those symbols will represent something also, and they're color-coded. So that's the 22 chapters going across. Then you have heaven open twice, which we just looked at, the two bookends. They're 7 years apart. And then what you have is you have the wrath. When you see the wrath, you'll see that in chapter 6, verse 16 and 6, verse 17. Why it shows 6, W16, W17, 11, 18, 12, 12, 14, 8. You'll see how that works. That's where the wrath is. So the wrath's within the bookends. And that's crucial to understand and to recognize. Then what you do is you chart the church on here. Where do you find the church? In yellow. You find him in chapter 1, verse 4, 11, 20. Chapter 2, 1, 7, 8, and so on. And then you find him in 22, 16. So where you have the wrath, you don't have the church. And where you have the church, you don't have the wrath. And that is the most crucial thing you can see in your Bible. So we're not appointed under wrath. Where's the wrath? In the bookends. Where's the church? Outside the bookends. Easy as I can tell you. And you know, I wish I wish I'd have seen this, you know, 20 years ago. It made things a lot easier in my life. Then you got the elders are spoken of within the bookends. You have Israel over and over again. That's what the I is here. Chapter 12, verse 1, 4, 6, 13. Pretty obvious Israel is within the bookends. And then what you have is a little bit of review. You've got the church outside, and then you've got the wrath inside. And that's how come it's so easy, and this is just one element of many elements to prove the pre-tribulation rapture. The church is, you got 2,000 years of church history pictured in chapters 2 and 3, and then you have the church pictured by John going up, and then you have the church literally coming back in chapter 19. There's the church, there's the wrath. We're not appointed unto wrath, therefore, you know, the Bible just confirms it. Now, let me lay out the whole 6,000 years of man's history. You have eternity past, and then you have the major things that happen in the 6,000 years. You've got the cross and the resurrection. You have the rapture of the church with Jesus coming back to the clouds, and then you have eternity future. That's just a few things we'll point out. The Old Testament is Israel. You have 4,000 years of Israel's history. If you study the genealogical charts, what you'll find is they represent about 4,004 years. You know, so-and-so begat so-and-so when he was this old. All of that is completely spelled out. And then you have Israel, the kingdom, 1,000 years in the future. Israel is the major focal point. Now, the church is there. The New Jerusalem will be, you know, in eternity. All of that. We will reign with Christ. But the focus is Israel on this earth. And then you have the mystery, which is the New Testament church. It's approximately 2,000 years long. And then you have Daniel's 70th week, which is in between the 1,000 years and the 2,000 years of church history. So God's wrath's coming starting in Revelation chapter 6. So most of my pictures started in chapter 6. I went and recreated the ones later on in chapter 1 after we'd already studied it. But you have the first seal, the white horse, chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Oh, and you know, he has a bow in his hand. Well, a bow in in Genesis chapter 6, or Genesis 9, not sure which right now, it's the flood, 9. The bow is a rainbow. What do you have today? Well, you have a lot of emphasis on a rainbow. Even if it's not the same number of colors, it's still called it's a rainbow. And I believe that first seal, white horse, will have a bow, and he will speak the language of the world, and the world will be inclusiveness. Everything goes, nothing matters. Just be who you are and whoever you want to be. Not who you are, really, because who you are is not who you are. It's who you want to be is who you are. The second seal, when you look at Revelation 6, 3, and 4, it talks about the red horse and all that goes along with it. And I thought about reading through the Bible, but and we could read verses 3 and 4 and you'd see what it says. And then verses 5 and 6, you've got the third seal, the black horse. You've got the fourth seal, the pale horse. And then you have the fifth seal, the souls under the altar. And then in Revelation 6, 12, the Bible says the moon became as blood. Now what is so interesting is all the prophecy groups that I used to be with, and I'm with a few of them again, but They don't do this because it was a fiasco. All the blood moon fiasco that went on, the moon has never turned to blood. That's a moon that turns to blood. It's not an eclipse. It's not pink. It is the moon became as blood. And it's very obvious that that's totally different than what's going on today. Then you get to Revelation 7, 1. You got the four angels standing on the four corners of earth. And again, I wanted to work on these a little bit more. It sort of looks like they're dancing. Remember, angels do not have wings. Nowhere in the Bible. An angel looks like a man. When the angel came and showed himself to Abraham, he looked like a man. You know, you got seraphim and all of those. They have wings, but the angels do not. Therefore, it's a little hard to get, you know, your computer to show an angel and not try to put wings on. I got to chop wings off every angel. I'm going against that movie, It's a Wonderful Life, because, you know, the bell rings and he gets his wings. In my book, the Bible, they don't get their wings. Four angels standing on the four corners of the earth. Then in chapter 7, verses 2 through 4, you have the 144,000. And then you have chapter 7, verse 9, the great multitude. You have, again, the great multitude. Chapter 8, verse 1 through 4, you've got the seventh seal, the golden censer. That censer is cast down to earth. Now, I never did a picture of it doing that, but I might. Then you have in the seventh seal, you have the seven trumpets. So the first trumpet is chapter 8, verse 7, and you have fire mingled with blood. And the second trumpet, a mountain is cast into the sea. Chapter 8, verses 10 and 11, again, the stars fell upon the rivers. That's the third trumpet. The fourth trumpet, one-third of the sun, the moon, the stars are darkened. And then that's just another depiction of it. In chapter 9, verses 1 and 2, you've got the fifth trumpet. In the fifth trumpet, you have the opening of the bottomless pit, and then you have the locusts that come out of the bottomless pit, and they torment men for a certain period of time. I think it's 5 months. The fifth trumpet, they have tails as scorpions. So it's a locust that has the face of a man, hair of a woman, a breastplate, and it describes all of that. But, you know, when you look at it, I said during the thing, boy, this is the first trans. Face of a man, hair of a woman. The Bible it's incomprehensible. It covers everything. But he actually probably looks a whole lot worse, so I gave him teeth. But then you look at the sixth trumpet, lion-headed horses in chapter 9, verse 13 through 17. And then you have, it's just another depiction of it. But then in chapter 10, verses 1 through 3, you have the mighty angel. The Bible says he has one foot in the sea and one foot on the land. And then you got John, and he's about to write, and he's told to eat the little book. And so you look at his face, you say, man, it looks like a guy that's told to eat a book that's going to be sweet in his mouth and bitter in his stomach. And then in chapter 11, verses 1 and 2, you got the rebuilt temple in Jerusalem. But I don't think there'll be the Dome of the Rock, so I took the dome off. That was a tough one because it wouldn't let me do it because it's, you know, politically incorrect to destroy the Dome of the Rock up there. And then this is just another depiction of it, and again, taking the dome off. Then you have the two witnesses in chapter 11, verse 13. And again, we don't know what they look like. This is just a depiction of it. And the Bible says that if anybody tries to kill them, fire will come out of their mouth and devour them. So the witnesses with the devouring fire. Then the Bible says that they will be killed. They'll lay in the street for 3.5 days. And everybody's going to have a party, and they're all going to be partying. And then all of a sudden, boom, the two witnesses are ascending up into heaven. And again, it took us a whole year to go through this that we're going to do just in 45 minutes or 40 minutes. Chapter 11, verses 11 and 12, the two witnesses ascending into heaven. And then verse 13, the earthquake destroys a tenth of the city. So you see that there. And then the seventh trumpet, the 24 elders. And they look like, I don't know, a bunch of Japanese, really. I can't seem to fix that one yet. And then chapter 11, verse 19, the temple of God in heaven. And then again, another depiction of it. I don't want you to think that these pictures are what it's going to be, so I give you a couple of different choices. Now, chapter 12 is the hinge upon which the whole book of Revelation deals with. Chapter 12, you have the woman in heaven. She has the stars, the 12 stars on her crown. She has the moon under her feet. She's great with child. And again, this is a picture of Israel. This is not Mary. And Mary's made the queen of heaven. None of that is in the Bible. Chapter 12, verse 3, you have the great red dragon with his heads. Then you have the woman, which is Israel, fled into the wilderness in chapter 12, verse 6. Then chapter 7 through 10, the great red dragon is cast to the earth. And just another depiction of it, because this was my first one and I liked it too. And then chapter 12, verse 11, the Bible says, those that were believers loved not their lives unto the death, which is likely decapitation. And then the woman is given two wings of a great eagle. And again, I like the eagles so much I couldn't figure out which one I liked best, so I just kept them all. And I kept them all. And then the serpent is cast, he cast out water as a flood in order to destroy Israel and to drown them all. And the earth opens up and swallows the flood. And the people are running from it, but God is protecting them and they escape. And then the dragon in verse 17 made war with the remnant of Israel that's there. Remnant of believers, because they're also outside of Israel. It's a multitude from every nation, tongue. And in chapter 13, verse 1, John stood on the sand of the sea. While he's standing there, the Bible says that he saw a beast rise up out of the sea. And the beast was like a leopard, and he had seven heads and a mouth like a lion. So when you see, there's only four there, but again, I just turned them around. There's the other three heads in the back. And then the Bible says one of his heads is wounded unto death. And they worshiped the dragon and the beast because his wound is healed. And again, you got another beast in verse 11, and the beast makes fire come down from heaven, and then they make an image is made to the beast. And then they give life to the image. So you see, he's given life to the image. And then you have the mark of the beast. And, you know, these are not real people, actual people. But you look at all the tattoos. Are they preparing the world to accept being marked? And the answer is probably yes. Look, a person that, you know, gets a tattoo isn't going to hell or isn't condemned. But it's preparing people to mark their body and not have a problem with it. And again, we don't know what the mark will look like. It'll be in their forehead and on their forehead, in their hand, their right hand. And you'll be able to. It'll be able to be seen. It'll probably be able to be scanned. It'll be biometric, which just means that while you're alive, that your body's chemistry will enact it. And I say you. Hopefully, nobody in here will be here. But you know, they will be. Those that are not saved. Revelation 14, 1, you got the 144,000. Now they're in Mount Zion up in heaven. So the 144,000 in chapter 7 on the earth, chapter 14, they're in heaven. And then you see the angel with the everlasting gospel going around preaching. He goes around and he preached the everlasting gospel. And then, again, the people are receptive because there's going to be great multitudes in heaven that are saved during that 7 years. And then the Son of Man is sitting upon a cloud. In Revelation 14, 14 and verse 20, the Bible says the blood in Armageddon will come up to the horses' bridles. And again, it's just what the Bible says. It's going to be a very, very difficult time. Chapter 15, you have the seven angels with the seven vials. Now you've had the seven seals, the seven trumpets, and now you have the seven vials starting in chapter 15. And again, this may go on during the other ones because the Bible in Revelation repeats itself three times. That's why you see Jesus almost coming back, you know, three different times. Seven angels with the seven vials. And then in verse 2, it talks about the sea of glass and the victorious saints standing on the sea of glass. Verse 8 talks about the temple being filled with smoke. Then you get to chapter 16 and you have the first vial. It's a grievous sore upon men. And you look at AIDS and you look at all that's going on. This will be, the world's being prepared for this type of thing. So they have a grievous sore. And the Bible says in verse 3, the sea is as blood of dead men. And then when you look at as dead men, it's coagulated or, you know, it's thick. And then the third vial, the rivers became blood. The fourth vial, men are scorched with heat. And then the fifth vial, the kingdom is full of darkness. The sixth vial, the Euphrates is dried up so the kings of the earth can go across it. The sixth vial, you have three unclean spirits like frogs. And if you remember the Budweiser thing, the world views the three frogs like this. I think the depiction is more like this in reality. They're not going to be, you know, the world's being prepared, set up. You know, there's three frogs, Budweiser. And if you and probably everybody in here, if you've ever seen a football game, remember those commercials. You have the sixth vial, you have Armageddon. And if you go over to Armageddon, It is just spread out forever. And you see all those people, those multitudes. Then you have the seventh vial, voices and thunders and lightnings in verses 17 through 21. And then in chapter 17, you have the judgment of the great whore. And she has a chalice. She's on the beast with seven heads. And then you know, what does she look like? We don't know. Could be Hillary Clinton, it looks like. Not to get political or anything. And then you got the beast goes into perdition in verse 11. And again, what does he look like? What is it like? We don't know. We know that he's probably a serpent. But it's not a place that, you know, he's not in control. Then you have the 10 kings of the earth. And then in verse 18, you have that great city. And then chapter 18, verse 2, you have Babylon is fallen. Babylon is fallen. And you have the birds coming out in verse 2. In verse 8, the city's burned with fire. And then you have a millstone that comes out in verse 21. Chapter 19, you have the 24 elders in heaven, and you have the marriage supper of the Lamb. Now, we don't know if this takes place in heaven or on earth, so I have both pictures in here. I think it could probably be on earth. Chapter 11, verse 16, you've got Jesus Christ, heaven is open, the second time heaven is open. He's coming back to judge and make war, and the armies which are in heaven follow him, the Bible says. So there we are. If you look real close, you can see me right there on the far right side. I'm going to tell you what, I don't care if I'm in the front or the back or the rear or the end, or it doesn't matter to me. I just want to be there because, you know, that battle is going to be just Jesus taking care of it all. Then you have the supper of the great God. And you have the beast and the false prophet are in the lake of fire. And you have the fowls with the Lord, and they come and they eat the carcasses, basically. Chapter 20, you have the dragon chained in the bottomless pit. Now, he's going to be chained for 1,000 years. And at the end of 1,000 years, he'll be loose. But the Bible says he's going to be chained down there so that Jesus will rule for 1,000 years and never have, and man never, never has any temptation from Satan at that point. And then here are the souls in heaven, and then the earth's going to rise up against them and go and try to destroy them. And in verse 9, the Bible says there's a heavenly destroying fire that comes down and destroys all those around them. And then a great white throne judgment in chapters 11 through 13. And then there's a lake of fire in verses 14 and 15. So we've made it all the way through chapter 20. That's pretty amazing. We will do it. Who knew, right? Chapter 21, you got the new heaven and earth. And again, we don't know what this looks like. We just know that it's going to be beautiful and great. And then verse 10, John is on a great and high mountain. And he sees things and he writes about it. Chapter 22, you have the tree of life. With all of its fruit that the nations will eat from. And that tree of life is just going to be beautiful and great. And then he says, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And so, again, I hadn't done a one for that. And he says in chapter 22, verse 15, without are evil beings, evil beings. And then chapter 22, verse 20, I will drink some water. All this talking about fire and stuff drive me out. Chapter 22, verse 20, he which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly, amen. Even so, Lord, come, Lord Jesus, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all, amen. All right, there you go. There's the book of Revelation in 30 minutes. It used to take me a week, 2 hours a night to teach it. Then it took me a year. And now it took me 30 minutes. So let's go ahead and close in prayer, but I'm going to go ahead and take prayer requests afterwards. Lord, you thank you for your many blessings, guide, lead, and direct in all things. We praise you and give you the glory and honor. Lord, for a book that you've given us that we can understand things that you give us to understand. Help us never to read into the book things that are not there. Help us to always have our eyes open, hearts open to the truth. In Jesus' name, amen. All right.